Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We've been talking about hearing from God, cultivating a quiet lifestyle, and developing our senses, all of our senses, so we can hear him clearly and recognize his voice. We want to have that confidence that we are hearing him clearly and know how to test what we hear and then know how to act. This is how we have relationship with God. Spending time with him and allowing him to make the changes that need to be made in us. He's the one who makes these changes. This is the relationship that he desires. Spiritually, if you've been born again, you are already one with him in spirit. But your soul is out of alignment with your spirit. So we're here on this earth during this time for the Lord to bring your soul back to alignment with your spirit. Now, I don't know how much his plans are to get any of our souls united in this time. Seems like it would take far longer than any one lifetime. But we don't know that. We don't know what his plans and intents are. He could, if he wanted to, perfect you or I like that. But he doesn't. He brings us through experiences. And he allows our soul to fail. He allows us to use up all of our strength, all of our effort, all of our motivation and desire, and even come to the end of our own emotional love, so that we can give up on doing it ourselves. Because even that, even we try to help God, our soul wants to maintain control so desperately that it even wants to control how it submits, how it fails, how it gives up. Your soul wants to dictate the terms of surrender. And God says, no, it'll be on my terms. Now, your spirit has already agreed with those terms. So you're not going to win this argument. Now, there's a simplicity to this relationship. It's not that complicated, but it's hard to do. Because, again, it involves letting God do things his way. And that's really, that goes against everything that we have grown and been born to understand. And even the concept of having a free will grows out of the idea that God is restricted by our beliefs. That if we don't submit the right way or forgive the right way or believe the right thing, that that keeps him from accomplishing what he wants in our lives. So that basically we're again saying that our soul is more powerful than him, than his desires for us, than his love for us. And what we've tried to do here is explore the concepts that maybe there are other ways to explain why things don't get done the way we think they should, why he doesn't save everybody, why there's evil in this world, why, despite our sincere desire to change, we can't or don't, why we can't just give in and let him do it. There are much more limitations are on our beliefs. We have more faith in what we believe than in our relationship with him. This all comes back to then having the confidence that we are hearing him and that we are receiving his love and receiving his direction, and that only comes by experience. We can't make it up. Faith is not believing something until it happens. Faith is based on experience. Otherwise, it's just wishful thinking, and it's your soul doing that wishful thinking. When God is giving you the desires of your heart, when he is putting the desires in your heart, you know they will be satisfied. He will desires because he has given them to you, and he does not tease us. But to allow him to make those changes in our lives, we have to allow everything that is not from him to fall away. And that's especially true of how we control our lives. Everything from how we spend our time to what we believe in. For instance, we think, okay, if we are part of a huge denomination, God certainly wouldn't send them all to hell, you know, and if they're all believing this and they all sound like they know what they're doing, if they weren't doing the right thing, surely God would let them know. If I believe and if I'm sincere and I'm wrong, surely God would let me know. And surely he does. But we resist. Why? Because our soul wants to maintain control. Now, as odd as it may seem, God does not hold that against us. He made your soul. He gave you the soul he wanted you to have for this time. And with its strengths and weaknesses, it's exactly the right soul for you. It's unique and specific, and there's nothing wrong with it, except that it's out of sync with your spirit. Your soul is trying to do things it's not meant to do. Your soul is trying to run your life, and it's not meant to. Your soul is part of your spirit being that you need to live on this earth, and maybe elsewhere, maybe other existences as well. But for our purposes, we're just going to focus on this world, this time zone. But it's not who you are. It's something you have. Your soul is who you are. I mean, your spirit is who you are. And you're either dead in your spirit or you're alive in your spirit. You're either connected and part of God as a living spirit or you're not. And once you've been born again, then and only then does the process of bringing your soul into alignment begin. Now, just as there's so many distractions and effort by our enemies to keep us from even being saved, there's even greater effort by our enemies to keep us from being made whole. We've talked before about when you start to really experience freedom through knowing God, you become an enemy to your enemies. You become dangerous. When you were trying to do it yourself, when you were relying on your doctrines or your feelings or your history, you're no threat to the enemy, any of your enemies. You're no threat to the world system. You're no threat to the devil and his little buddies. And you're no threat to your own flesh, your own self-life. You're not a threat to anybody as long as you're trying to do it yourself. But as soon as you start allowing God to make the changes, and you start recognizing that every moment of your life, that's an additional opportunity to turn to Him. Lord, is that you? Lord, what's going on right now? Lord, do you have something to say right now? Lord, thank you right now. When you start living in eternal life right now, when you start redeeming all your time into now, you steal from your enemies. You seal off their pathways into your life. You nullify the weapons that they have formed against you. That's our part, to turn to Him constantly, all the time, with peace and rest and joy. He will have you ready for tomorrow. He has crafted your today and your tomorrow for His purposes. There have been no surprises in your life. This is your training ground. Training, not for achieving a goal here on earth, but for achieving a relationship with God here on this earth. You are His purpose, His delight, His joy. And it's the goodness of God, His heart for us, that draws us to Him. So the more we understand that it's about cooperating and resting and recognizing, letting Him do the work, but also understanding as we do that, we become an enemy to our enemies, a threat. As long as we're trying to do it ourselves, as long as we're just involved in religion, we are no threat to our enemies. So when we start resting and cultivating that quiet lifestyle and allowing God to have His way with us, our enemies will attack. They know our weaknesses. The human race is not that complex. And God allows those attacks. Because part of our purpose here on this earth during this time is to learn how to exercise the authority that He has already given us. He has labeled us, given us a title of overcomer. To be an overcomer, you have to have obstacles. This is not your life now. Our lives now are not about being all pleasant and easy and no bad things ever happening. But that regardless of the circumstances, we know it's a training ground. To learn the difference between our emotional compassion and His love, and developing good judgment, where our soul is connected to the spirit. So many areas of our lives we have drawn the wrong conclusion about what God expects of us. And the only way we can get it back, the only way we can draw the right conclusion is by experiencing Him. And the only way to do that is to spend time with Him. Spending time, cultivating that quiet lifestyle, then letting Him draw us. Now, we've talked many times that we often do not experience His presence or any change during the times we're waiting on Him. Because that's when He's doing the most work. So He doesn't want to disturb the effort He's making by drawing our attention to what He's doing. So He waits for times when we least expect it, and then He makes Himself known. And we are all in a learning process. and we can learn from one another. But the goal is to be one with him. We don't know what came before our earthly existence, and we don't know what will come after. But we know it'll be exciting. We know it will be satisfying and joy-filled, because God crafted it for us, for you, for me. And he is a loving God. Now, many of us, most of us, if not all, have questions about that. If God is love, how could he allow and just fill in the blank? Or why doesn't he just, and we just fill in the blank? Well, why do you have questions? Why does God allow you to have questions? So you will seek him for the answers. Not in a critical or berating way. God, you can't possibly be a loving God. Look at all this that happens in the world. And you allow it. Who'd want to have you for a God? If this is your idea of love, I want nothing to do with it. No, we say, Lord, I'm having real trouble with this. Can you help me out here? Why does this happen? And we know there's books in the whole books in the Bible dealing with that question. It's not like it's a new question. Habakkuk comes to mind. And in that book, for instance, God doesn't answer the question, why? Why do you permit evil? Why do the just suffer injustice? Why do bad things happen to good people? He doesn't answer, but he reveals himself. I know what I'm doing. And I know what I'm doing in your life. And it will be worth it. Knowing him by experience bypasses the control of the soul. When you begin to experience his presence, his manifest, real, objective presence, because now he's always present with you, but when you start recognizing it, he has had the freedom in your life enough to sharpen your senses, your soulical senses, so you can begin to experience what is going on already right now in the spirit. Where you are right now is filled with supernatural beings. And God himself fills your room, fills your car, fills wherever you are. He is with you right now. And he's not going anywhere. And he's always been there. Our goal is to cooperate with him so that he can tune our senses to recognize what is already happening. So doctrine, he has such a simplicity of doctrine. And what's interesting is when we look at the history of Christianity, God started out very simple with his people. And man took that simplicity
and started adding to it. We could even look at the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments ended up being hundreds of laws and precepts. And, boundaries you had to, strict things you had to follow. And then God came in the flesh and brought it down back to two. Love thy neighbor as thyself, and love your God above all. And what have denominations done with that? We focus on the little things. We strain to try to answer all the questions ourselves. So as we practice quietness in his presence, he returns a simplicity to our lives. And very often the questions we struggle with, the complexity falls away in his presence. And just like Habakkuk, we say, Lord, whatever you say. You are God. And isn't it great? That's how he describes himself. I am. He doesn't give us all the details of his existence or his intent or his purpose. Words cannot contain our God. And the more we try to contain his nature, our new nature, the more we are distracted from the simplicity of devotion to Christ. Now also remember, you are a co-inheritor. You are a joint heir. Everything that Jesus inherited, you inherited. Now, You're not below, you're in. You're in the family. You're not an adoptee. Because you've been born of his seed. Spirit begets spirit. He raised you in him. You were born again of spirit. So you've not been adopted. You're part of who he is and what he is. You belong in him. So spend some time with him. Let him answer your questions. Let him show you where those questions, even answering them, do not satisfy. But even this holiday weekend, and even this coming week, set aside more time and ask, Lord, is there an area you want to draw my attention to where you are bringing my soul into alignment? And let him reveal any wounds or any thoughts or memories or fears that he wants to set you free from. So, Lord, right now, don't let us miss you. Each day, Lord, we want to make the most of every day we have that you've given us. So, Lord, don't let us be satisfied with anything less than everything you have for us. And I encourage you to increase the amount of time. If you want to go faster, spend more time. And even go ahead and set aside time that is a sacrifice. Get up in the middle of the night. Deny your body what it craves And it just that disconnects your soul. And we'll go into more of that next week. So we'll get together again next week, the same time. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. Have a great night.